me or ministry. Book of Matthew, chapter number 20. I want to read, beginning verse number 20 tonight. Matthew 20:20. And I'm going to read down to verse number 28. It says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall indeed drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called unto them and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So, the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we have the privilege to hold this wonderful book in our hands. Oh God, we thank you tonight. We can depend upon its every word. Lord, we don't just believe that the thoughts are inspired. We believe the words. We believe you gave this to us that we might hear and understand the way and the will of God. We ask you tonight to open it to our hearts. Illuminate it. Spirit of God, the author, oh Spirit, that you would tonight just entrench us deep within your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You can be seated. I believe far too often we are more attentive or more concerned about the rewards of service than the road of service. We're more concerned of what we might get out of it than what we can put into it. And certainly as we come to this text tonight, we see this exemplified to us as this mother comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and asks that her two sons might have prominence amongst the people of this world. I want to speak to you tonight about ministry. Ministry or me? First of all, I'd like for us to stop and consider ministry according to mother or mama. I want us then to look at ministry according to men, but most importantly, ministry according to the Master, for that be what is important. As we look at verse 20, 21, 22, 23, we see the story of this woman who comes. And as she comes, she has a desire for her sons. Now, she came to worship. She came as a follower. But she expresses a concern that is far too often a concern that we have. And that is, she wants to have some prominence. She wants to have position for her sons. She wants to have privilege for those two boys. And thus she says, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, the other on thy left." Think about this. In thy kingdom. Brethren, tonight, let's understand. It isn't how much I can get. Ministry is about how much I can give. It's not about being served. It's about serving. In verse 24 and 25, we find ministry according to men. In verse 24, it says, "The ten heard it, and they were moved with indignation." They were upset, if you please. They were disgusted. Can we use the word mad at these two men and their mother? And here we find that now we have a contention amongst the disciples. And the Lord Jesus points out to them a very well-known truth, and that is that amongst those in this world, those who are considered great are those who are in positions of dominion. That is the common thought. And really, oftentimes in ministry, we have the idea that if we are a minister, we stand in the pulpit, we're the pastor, or we're the leader in a group, or whatever it is, we have this position that is prominent, a power position, if you please. But let's put it very simple. If we're in the ministry, that means we are ministering. That means we are servants too. That means there are those whom we serve. And too often we're willing to play what I call preacher and tear someone else down to build ourselves up. And we need to understand tonight, it's not about us. It's all about Him. And it's about serving others. But then the Lord Jesus gives us some tremendous thoughts as we move to verse 26, 27, and 28. And allow me to read these once again. It says, "But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." Oftentimes, we think about the authority that we have in different positions. Sometimes we talk about pastoral authority, and God does give a pastor certain authority. But it does never give us a license for being a cruel taskmaster. What it allows us is the privilege to set example of service unto others. Many, many years ago, there was a very well-known preacher in this nation. I'll not give his name, but I know who he was. He traveled the nation, and week after week, he would be in this city and that city. And there was a man. His name was Paul Vanneman. Paul Vanneman was a pastor of Dixie Road Baptist Church, just north of Pontiac, Michigan, where I lived at for 3 years. Paul Vanneman was the pastor of that church, and also he taught in the school that I went to. And I heard the story that he went to the airport to pick up this famous, well-known preacher. And as he was going back to his car and helping him with his bags and carrying him and so forth, he opened his trunk, and he could not put the pastor's bags in his trunk because he'd forgotten to take the shovels and the tools out of his trunk from the building project that he was in. Dr. Vanneman pastored a church of just 600 or 700 people, but here he was with all these tools in his car. He was a servant. He was one who was willing to do what he needed to do. This famous man made some remarks about that, not unkindly by any means, but having realized he was in the presence of one who was willing to be a servant. Ministry, according to the Master, is that you and I might have the mind of the greatest of all servants, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, we find the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." When you read the context of that particular chapter, you will learn that that mind is a mind of humility. It's a mind that is willing to serve others. And how God wants you and I in that particular place. A lot of folks, they say, "Well, I won't be happy unless I'm ruling over people." May I remind you that people will not rob you of your joy when you're serving them rather than trying to control them. People love folks who love them. When we get the attitude that we're not in a position of service, we find ourselves trying to make ourselves look good unto others. But it's not about us. It is about Him. I love a term. Matter of fact, I heard a man one time take great issue with it and read a big article about it. But I love the term under shepherd. We find in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is our chief shepherd. We find those three attributes concerning Him. And those who shepherd a flock are really under Him. It's a position whereby He is the one in authority, not any of us. We are laboring for Him. We are doing what He wants us to do. And here's a beautiful, wonderful thing that I'd like for us to consider. And that is, when we're laboring for Christ, it is restful. Let me take you to the book of Matthew, at least in your thoughts, in chapter number 11. Verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden." And what's he say? "And I will give you rest." Come unto me, and he says, "I will give you rest." But he doesn't stop there. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." So he said, "Come to me, and as you come to me, I will give you rest. But take my yoke upon you." Now, I was raised on the farm as a little boy. I can remember my dad picking corn with a team of horses. And I remember as he would hook up that team of horses and put them in those horse collars, if a yoke, if you please. I've seen the same thing, and many of you who've been to camp with me have seen the same hitch as they put on the stagecoach and the covered wagon on Thursday nights. And seen when they put that on, it's not for the purpose of setting still. It's for the purpose of laboring. It's for the purpose of hooking something to it that they might pull it. And so the Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That was an interesting thing. God wants you and I to be in ministry. God wants you and I to minister one to another. Matter of fact, brethren, we come to church. We ought to come to church with the idea there is somebody there that needs ministering to. There's somebody that needs encouragement. Matter of fact, we are to edify each other. Are we not? Are we not to do that? That's the time you say amen. That would edify me at the moment. And we come to do that. We come to church to learn, to gain. We come for a lot of different reasons. But one of the things we ought to come for is to be a blessing to somebody else. I was talking to somebody just a little while ago about Gertrude. And my goodness, Gertrude's been gone a long time, but she's still in our hearts. And I remember one time she called me on the phone. She never could hear me unless I was on the phone. She didn't wear hearing aids. And she had this real loud phone, and so she called me up, and I could talk to her, and she could hear me. And one of the great things that Gertrude did, she came to church, she never heard a thing I said, and she walked out and said, "Boy, wasn't that a wonderful sermon?" And anyway, she called me up one day, and she says, "I hope you understand something." And I said, "What is that, Gertrude?" She says, "I hope you understand that when I come to church and I talk to people and I say goofy things and I try to get them to laugh," she says, "you know, there's a lot of folks come to church and they're hurting and they just need to kind of relax and laugh. And if I can say something, I can do something just to help them, to relieve them a little bit for a few moments," she says, "I've accomplished something in church today." And I thought, what a lovely thing to say and what a lovely thing to consider, as she wanted to help somebody with a burden. But when we're doing that, here's an interesting thing. It is bringing rest to us. Hebrews, if you would, please, chapter number 4. Book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And I want to go to verse number 9. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. We find in this particular segment of Scripture, from this context that there is a temporal, can we say a temporary, and an eternal rest. But let's notice here, chapter number 4, verse number 9, says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." There's something yet coming. "For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us," what? "Labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." There is a labor that will take us into a rest. Let us labor. That is action. Let us labor, taking us into a work. Being involved in the work gives us rest. May I say to you tonight, putting it off or fighting over it brings stress. But getting into it brings rest. Let me give you an example. Many years ago, my oldest brother, he was a linoleum, whatever was vinyl you put on floors or countertops, he could do it. They considered him a master. And, of course, then the days of carpet began, and he would lay carpet. I saw in his house, he had saved all the little scraps. I mean, little things, just small things from all these different jobs. They were cut up in all kinds of shapes. And he made a mosaic in his own house. He didn't have money to buy linoleum for his own house. He just saved it from all of his different jobs. There must have been about at least 50 different pieces of linoleum there from different projects. And he cut those and all kinds of things and put them together. That was the kind of work that he did. He was on his knees constantly. He decided one year to go on a vacation. His wife had family that were farmers up in South Dakota. If you're familiar with the southern part of South Dakota, you know that they have a lot of hay fields up there. Well, guess when my brother just happened to get there? It was haying season. And he gets there, and of course, here's his brothers-in-law, and they're all going out to the fields. My brother was raised on the farm, so he knew the work. And so he puts on his overalls, he gets his gloves, and he goes out, and he said, "I worked harder than I've worked in many years. Harder than carrying those big lugs of linoleum or carpet around." He says, "I put in the labor." But he said, "It felt so good." He said, "I came back from that rested." Now think about that. Some of you folks, you go on vacation, you work so hard at it, and you come back and you're wore out. You know? But he went and he worked and he came back rested. You see, there is a rest in work. Do we understand that? There can be a relaxation in doing for other people. There is a pleasure in it. Let us labor in the work. Let us labor in the Word. Think about it for a moment. Our stress would be relieved for us who stand in the pulpits, for those who teach in Sunday school classes or wherever it might be, if we would just give the Word of God and let it do its job. My job is to study it, to deliver it. It's not my job to make you react. My frustration comes when I want you to do it. But that's God's job. And so God wants us to labor in the Word. He wants us to labor in the work. And there is a rest in that labor. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Notice here, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's that which can do the job, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We allow God to do what He wants to do. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, notice these words, let us hold fast our profession. Let us labor. Let us hold fast. Let us have action. Let us have, can we say, traction. Because He is ever there as our intercessor.
There is a rest when we are coming to Him in prayer. Now, prayer can be very difficult, but there is a rest in it because we can say, God is going to take care of it. It has been placed into His hands. As we come to Him and we confess our faults and we can cling to our beliefs and allow God to work, hold fast to our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We have the blessed privilege to come unto Him and, brethren, to find a relaxation in the Lord. There is a rest in our labor. But notice one other thing here just for a moment. In verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. All the unction there for us to go to God with our needs under that wondrous throne of grace that He may what? Take care of us. To find grace in the time of need. Ministry is about waiting upon others. But what I want us to understand with that tonight is, as we minister, there is a rest. If we are ministering and we're not experiencing the rest, it might be because it's really about me rather than thee. It might be because we have in our own hearts the wrong emphasis. Because there really is a relaxation in being able to help others. Amen. I can't tell you the number of times I've walked into different situations and I thought, boy, this is, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. Walk into a hospital room and perhaps somebody's just died and there's some family that's gathered around, or perhaps there's somebody that's very ill and they're looking at passing in just a few moments. And I've walked out of those things so many times just with relief. Because as you minister, God gives a rest. God gives a sense of, can we use this, fulfillment in ministry. You see, the Lord wants us to understand tonight, it's not about our position, it's not about where we're at, it's not about our privilege in front of others, our status, our prominence. It's about ministering to them. That's what it's about. I believe this is happening quite often in our own church. I heard a pastor many years ago. He said, I was walking down the hall. He says, I wasn't teaching Sunday school that morning, and I was walking down the hall, and they had this long hallway and classes on both sides. And he said, most of the doors were shut, but he said, I was walking down, and here's a door that's just partially open. And he said, I looked in, and I saw in there the teacher. She was not sitting on a chair. She was down on all fours, trying to illustrate with some little, I believe it was like 4 and 5, 6 years old, somewhere in there, the story for that day. Right there amongst them, being with them. And he said, I understood that day I had a teacher that was there to minister to little ones. Not to lord it over, not to be super saint in front of them by saying I'm great, but just simply ministering to them. Giving ourselves unto others. That's what the Lord's talking about. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to what? Be one that ministered to others. That was Jesus. And God has called us into that position. I think about this Wednesday night as we begin Master Clubs. And these little kids come in here. And who knows how many we'll have come Wednesday night. But as they come, some of them are a little bratty. those are normally your kids. Some of them are, they're a little hyper. But they come. And we have the privilege and the opportunity to minister to them. And to be able to try to show them the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest way we can reach them is by showing them our love. The only way love is shown is as we give ourselves to them. As we allow that to take place. Yeah. They become then those whom can be reached for Christ. We have a great job before us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I read these chapters this afternoon. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I want us to think about something for a moment. But they that wait upon the Lord. That word wait, depending upon its position in a sentence, can be actually thought of in three or four different ways. Often we think of waiting as sitting with our arms crossed, just idle, doing nothing, expecting something to come along pretty soon. We're sitting at a bench waiting for a bus. We're waiting for a service to begin. But this word, I want you to notice, is followed by an unusual preposition. It says, wait what? Wait upon. Wait upon. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In that connotation, I believe he's talking about service. For there is waiting for somebody and there is waiting upon people. We go to a restaurant and we have a waiter or a waitress. They are waiting upon us. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What a wonderful thought we have here. Service for God won't wear us out. Service for self will take us to the loony bin. It'll take us to the stress house. We'll need to see the chiropractor to take the kinks out of our neck. But service to the Lord has a way of bringing renewed strength. Consider it. God's good. Amen. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you that we have a wonderful privilege in this realm of service. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see that it's not about our prominence. It's not about our popularity. It's simply about our giving of ourselves to others. Help us to see, oh God, that it does not take away from us, but it really gives us rest. It gives us the relaxed soul. It gives us the restoration. Lord God, I pray that we might be servants. That we might realize that every individual before us are those whom you have sent us to be servants unto. Lord, you've said to us, let us esteem others better than ourselves. For we are in that position of service to them and to you. Work on our hearts in these matters. God, humble our hearts. May we see this wonderful position Lord, as you bent down upon your knees and took the basin and the wash rag and washed the feet of the disciples, God, may we imitate you. Work in our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.